Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, May 21st, 2024. We only have another week left in May. Isn't that amazing? I had a really cool experience this last week, and I always like to share little things at the beginning of the show. You know, my computer died a few months ago. I talked about it on my show because I ended up, with my mom's HP laptop, which turned into my main computer. I mean, it's it. It sits on my desk. It's got, my monitor is hooked to it. And it was just great. I mean, it was another, gift and blessing from God for sure to have her little laptop. So anyway, the computer died. And I mean, it just died. My big PC thing. And so my computer guys were able to glean off of my hard drive the majority of information that I had. And luckily I was on, what's it called, the cloud? I can't think of what there's a term for it, where everything is, not just the cloud, but anyway, all the stuff. So it was easy for him to just get that put on the laptop, and they were able to restore just about everything except my audio files, which included my shows and the music that I play on my shows. So I've been using music that somehow got hidden in a different folder, but I don't have much compared to what I did have. And I love to play music from Sequoia Records because I just think it's a beautiful sight and just wonderful stuff on there. So I've tried since then. I mean, this happened, February, maybe March or January, February. I can't remember. And I've tried to order more downloads from Sequoia, but there's a glitch in their site. And when I would go to place my order, it would say that it was an unsafe site. So I didn't go any further. Well, about a week ago, I decided to try it again, and the same message came up about that. And just, I mean, talk about divine timing. Just right on the heels of that, or maybe because I got a newsletter from Sequoia. So maybe that's why I decided to go back in and try again. Or maybe I decided to go back in and try again, and then the next day got a newsletter from Sequoia. I don't remember which came first, chicken or the egg. But since I got that newsletter, I sent him an email and explained the issue. And David Gordon answered my email. David and Steve Gordon are Sequoia Records. And that really surprised me. I thought they probably have someone who takes care of emails. And, I did not expect him to actually answer my email. And he was really lovely. He said they're aware of the issue. The site actually was secure, and they're working on getting rid of that problem, getting rid of that flag. So he offered another way to purchase the music. And if I didn't feel good about going through the site, he offered me another way through just emailing to them what I wanted and then, going to PayPal, because everything goes through PayPal. So he said there was no worry, no issue, no danger, in the payment process, because it all goes through PayPal. So I ordered 4 downloads, and they have a deal, 4 for the price of 3. And I got part of my music back a couple days ago. And I was just so impressed with him because he was very nice. I let him know that I placed my order and that I'd lost a lot of my music. And it was just really nice. And he actually answered my email on a Sunday. So, along with great music, David Gordon is another reason for me to play music from Sequoia Records. So I'm just really happy to have some variety back now. But I just wanted to share that because I don't know, people are good for the most part. I really believe that. I really believe that. And it's not just because obviously that's their business, their site, that's what they do. But there was a genuineness in the way he wrote back, and not just here, let's solve the problem, But he was very kind, and that kindness came through, and I really appreciated it. So I just wanted to share that with you. So, if you don't have music from Sequoia Records, and man, they have a lot. They have a lot. Check them out. Check them out, sequoiarecords.com. I remember the first thing I ever heard from the Gordon Brothers was called Sacred Earth Drums. And gosh, we bought that. It was in the 80s, I think, in the 80s. And a big influence on David and Steve Gordon was, geez, now his name escapes me. Myths. Shoot, you knew who I'm talking about. I'm sure you know who I'm talking about. Joseph Campbell. I had to turn around and look at his cassettes that are on my bookcase. Joseph Campbell. So Joseph Campbell was a big influence on them, and that's just kind of another interesting thing. But that CD is fabulous. Sacred Earth Drums, fabulous. Which I honestly have the CD of that. Anyway, enough of that. If you're listening live, I invite you to join me in the chat room. Just go to 12radio.com and click chat. I invite your comments and questions about today's topic, and it's far-reaching today, I'll tell you. I can't wait to get to it. And I will respond to them. If you have comments and questions, post them in the chat room and I'll respond to them after the show. If you would like a reading from me, you can find me every day on 12listen.com. The reason why I say that is because I don't have, I lately and for a long time now, whatever the teaching segment is fills the show. And so that is the most important thing. But if you would like a reading from me, you can find me every day on 12listen.com. I'm typically available mid-morning, mid to later morning Pacific time into the evening. If you stop by and don't see me, or if I happen to be busy, just schedule a call, put in a callback request. I'm notified immediately via text and will respond as soon as I can. And I will always do my best to meet your schedule. We do have reduced rates a few times a week. We typically celebrate Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays. This week, the full moon falls on Thursday, so we will have reduced rates on calls and chats all day celebrating the full moon. And I will have a full moon time-based session at a very special price for the day. And I'll be online again about 10 a.m. Pacific into the evening. And I would love to talk to you. I love the full moon. I love all that light. I love all that energy. So it's a good time to harvest your intentions, just metaphorically. If you want to be notified of our specials, go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions. My Welcome Spring time-based session will be available until I think summer starts around the 21st of June, and then we'll do a summer one. But it is available until then. And I like to always remind you of the gratitude board on 12listen.com. You can post anonymously what you are grateful for, whether it's in your experience or not. And the 12 advisors moderate that board 24/7, and we will add our attention to your intention and just empower it. It's another way for us to support you. So please take advantage, especially since you can post anonymously. Why not? And I just want to say thanks for listening. However, and whenever you do, 12 Radio is a great way to stay inspired. You can find archives of all of the shows from all of the hosts in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. And it's just a whole lot of different voices. Check out somebody that you don't listen to often, or maybe you've never listened to before, and just see what's there. Listen with an open mind. Listen with, or go through the schedule or the list of hosts and see who stands out for you. Let your intuition pick who you want to listen to a show from. But it's a lot of information, a lot of inspiration, and a lot of passion because we all talk about what we love, what we absolutely love. So you're gonna get a benefit no matter what. And again, it's another way for us to support you. So I encourage you to use it. So right now, let's shift into the teaching segment by listening to a song by the Gordon Brothers called Dancing for a Vision from the Buddha Lounge 3 CD and Sequoia Records. And before you start, Jay, I just want to say thank you to you for producing the show today and for all that you do for all of us on 1-2 Radio. Please enjoy the music. I'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. I'm glad you're here today. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. It was just a nice groove, wasn't it? And I'm very happy to have my Sequoia music back. And I apologize for this fuzz in my throat. I apologize for clearing my throat. Hang on one sec. Geez, sorry, I could have muted myself, but I didn't. Oh, well, I guess we're just going to have a gravelly voice, and I'm just not going to resist it. So, I had a talk recently that inspired today's show. It was a talk with a lovely friend of mine. And before I get to that conversation and explaining what happened in it and the healing work that I did with her, I want to start by sharing some information that I previously shared on a show last fall. But this all goes together. And this is sort of like the starting point, I think. And at least I think it all goes together. I guess we'll see. I guess we'll see if that's true, right? But this is from an Alan Watts seminar called Following the Taoist Way. And he begins by saying that the philosophy of the Tao is one of the two principal components of Chinese thought. Taoism and Confucianism, and they play the two principal components of Chinese thought, interrupted by my clearing my throat, are Taoism and Confucianism. And he said they play a curious game with each other. Confucianism has been one of the most successful philosophies in all history for the regulation of governmental and family relationships. It is concerned with formality and ceremony and has been criticized by the Taoist for being unnatural. The two philosophies balance each other out. Roughly speaking, he says, Confucianism is for people involved in the world, and Taoism is for people who get disentangled from the regular lifestyle. So what he means by people involved in the world are people, you know, like earlier in their lives, right? What you do, your education, the career that you get into, you know, when you're a certain age, you do this, and I'm being very general in this. And then, you know, you get your education, you start your career, maybe you get married, you have kids, but it's all about that. It's about that sort of working in society, so to speak. And then Taoism is, you know, for people who get disentangled from the regular lifestyle. And, you know, I think logically speaking, or what comes to mind is people who have finished with their, you know, their regular roles, kind of the set roles that we have, that we get through our lives, that we fill these roles with children, with, you know, whatever, being parents and then are, you know, in a later part of life. In fact, he said in Chinese history, Taoism is a way of life for older people. Lao Tzu means the old boy. Lao Tzu wrote the Tao Te Ching. And the legend is that when he was born, he already had a white beard. So Watts says, when you've contributed to society, when you've had children, brought them up, you have a certain role in social life. You then say, now it's time for me to find out what it's all about. Who am I ultimately, behind my outward personality? What is the secret source of things? This is something to do when you have finished with the family business. And that's not to say that younger people can't study the Tao. It's just how it was thought of then. Taoism is a sort of safety valve for the regulations of Confucianism. The word Tao means the way or course of nature. There is no supreme lord in Taoism. Therefore, it differs from all other spiritual philosophies. Lao Tzu said, the Tao is like water. It always seeks the low level, which human beings abhor. And basically all that means is that it resists nothing. It resists nothing. The Tao is not something different from us or nature. It is the way it all behaves. To be and not to be mutually arise. Yes and no, light and dark, mutually arise. And each are experienced only because of their opposites. This mutual arising is interdependence, and that is the Tao. In the philosophy of the Tao, the whole of nature is a self-regulating, self-governing organism that has a totality that all goes together, and that is the Tao. The Tao is, quote-unquote, self-so. It is what is so of itself, what happens of itself, spontaneity. It happens like your heart beats. It does it by itself. Imagine a world that happens of itself. No ruler. The Tao does not rule. There's a passage in the Tao Te Ching that says, the great Tao flows everywhere, both to the left and to the right. It loves and nourishes all things, but does not lord it over them. And where merits are accomplished, it lays no claim to them. In other words, the attitude of the Tao, supposing we could personify it, would be to bring things into order by letting them go their own way. The more liberty, love, and permission you give to things to take place, to be, the more order you will have. The Tao is the easy way of liberation. The Taoist way is a shortcut, using intelligence instead of effort to find a way that sees into your own nature, sees into the Tao immediately. The immediate way is through now. This moment is the Tao, considered by itself, without past or future, eternal, neither coming into or going out of being. And that is nirvana. The Tao is the present moment. Now that is rich, rich, rich stuff. But now, on to my conversation with my friend. And that, again, was Following the Taoist Way by Alan Watts. That was from that talk. Now, she, my friend, was a very, very successful salesperson in a male-dominated industry. She's married and has grown children, and she's now semi-retired and is looking for something productive and joyful to do in this new phase of life. What she wanted me to help her with was to clear energy that was in the way of her valuing herself. She said she's never really valued herself and didn't know how to start. And I understood exactly what she was saying. So, she worked hard all her life. That was her, that's what she did. That was her day-to-day living. And not that she worked 7 days a week, but she worked hard and she was devoted to it, committed to it. And now there's space in her life for herself that she never had before. And it's uncomfortable. That sounds strange, but I totally get it. I totally, totally get it. And it's uncomfortable because she doesn't know how to give to herself. She doesn't know how to make herself important. You know, her work, what she had to do before, her clients, her, you know, everything involved in that was the biggest part of her life. But again, she had a family. She was married. She has kids. So there were other parts of her that did mother, wife, friend, you know, that did those places too. But again, her primary focus, I guess I'm saying, and that's not to cheat those other aspects of her life, was her work. She loved it. She loved it. She was good at it. That's why she's quote-unquote semi-retired, can't quite let go yet, but she's getting there, you know, she's getting there, and I think once she realizes that, yes, this is a different space that she's occupying now, and once she realizes how to occupy it, then that will change. And she'll be able to, at some point, and I'm not saying she has to do it tomorrow, move completely into it. She doesn't know how to give to herself. And that's an interesting thing, because I understand that completely, because when you work, and especially when you're in sales or when you're self-employed, that puts a whole different shine on everything. That is, you're it. Simply put, you are it. It depends on you. You're not going to work, working 8 to 5, for a salary. You're it. You are responsible for what you do, for your production, and for your income. So, it's just it's a different thing, and it is hard to just let go of that. It's hard to sit, and I'm speaking from personal experience. It's hard to just sit and read a book or have a cup of tea or something like that, because I'm always thinking, okay, I need to do this, this, isn't this. Or I need to write something, or I need to get back to somebody, or I need to, it's like it takes over your life when you're self-employed. And what I do goes far beyond, and I don't mean to sound, that was the wrong way to say it, but this is my life. This is my dharma. What I do is my dharma. It's my purpose. And so it's what I love. So sitting in, reading or studying or listening to something, if I need to buy something on Amazon or do something to take a little break, I'll put on an audio, Alan Watts or Joel Goldsmith or something, and listen while I'm doing something else, because I love it. It's my lifeblood. It's the air that I breathe. It's what I'm here to do. So it's a little different, but it does allow me to completely understand where she is. What I read from Alan Watts, she has done the structure of Confucianism, and she is unsettled by the ease of the Tao. She's unsettled by having that space that's not occupied by demands, the demands of work or what she has to do or who she has to contact and keep in contact with. It's just so fascinating to look at, and I so totally get it, which is why you hear the smile in my voice, because it makes sense. It makes sense. Her value, outwardly speaking, came from her work. She knew she was excellent at it, but without it, she doesn't know who she is or what she can do. She doesn't know. And she equates that with, I don't value myself. So that was kind of an interesting way to say it. And it was just in talking to her and knowing her, that I knew, and through my intuition, what she was talking about. It's time for herself. She doesn't know how to have time for herself. She doesn't know how to give it to herself, because there should be something else she could be doing, something productive. That's the other thing. It takes not only giving to yourself, valuing yourself, validating yourself by giving to yourself, but it also takes the value out of the thing you're giving to yourself. Say it's a massage or a pedicure, or just something like that. You're missing out on the benefit of it, because you're thinking there's something productive you could be doing. There's something else you could be doing. It's just a really fascinating thing, a really, really fascinating thing. So anyway, I did a chakra clearing, a healing for her. And when I got to her third chakra, which is personal power, I heard the word so loud and clear in my ear. I heard the word permission. And I thought, that's interesting. That's interesting, especially with, looking at the third chakra and, clearing it. And the way that word unfolded was absolutely fascinating. The description of the third chakra. Now, the interpretation of the chakras, you can get a million of those, because it's all kind of a personal thing. But based on my education and what I've learned and my experience over these almost 20 years of working with the chakra system, the third chakra, which is located at the solar plexus where your ribs meet, is the center of your will, your fire, your self-expression, your talents and abilities. It is also the center through which your intentions manifest, through your self-expression. So I want to explain how manifestation occurs through the chakra system. Intentions begin with the crown chakra. The crown sits on the top of your head and it goes upward like a can. You can imagine like a can sitting on the top of your head. It is the gateway to the God of your heart, however that looks to you. It is the gateway to intuition, inspiration, to peace, healing, unconditional love, creative ideas. It is the gateway to supply what you need, when you need it, as you need it. And all things divine come through the crown, and it is a constant flow, a constant flow. Spirit's always speaking to us. We don't necessarily hear it, but that's our fault. Or not our fault. It's because we don't know, or we're not listening, or we're depending on our own selves or our own mind to get things done, or we'll struggle it through, we'll figure it out, when all we have to do is get quiet and it'll come. And I mean that sincerely. That's all we have to do. But it is constantly receiving. So as this information comes through, it comes through to the sixth chakra, which is in the center of your head. It is behind your eyes, between your ears, and it is your imagination space, your clairvoyance space. It's how you see. It is completely neutral. So from the sixth, you can observe, you can create a room there in the center of your head. In fact, in my education, it's called your center of headroom. And you can make that anything you want it to be. To me, the most important thing about your center of head room is you make it a place that you want to be. So it doesn't have to be a room. It can be a beach, it can be a meadow, it can be a mountain, it can be a lake, it can be any place you love. I had a wonderful student whose center of headroom was the library in a school that he went to that was his favorite place to be. So any place that just lights you up, that's enjoyable to you, is a good place to create as your center of head. And when you're in there, it is your inner sanctuary. That's what it is. And we have we you don't have to do anything, but I think we have to have an inner sanctuary. Because inside is the only place we are going to touch source. It's the only place where happiness, love, security, peace exists, is within our consciousness, our infinite consciousness, the God mind. And you only get there by going within and being quiet. So to have a special place in the center of your head is a step further. So you go and you get comfortable there so that you can experience the presence, be there. As I said, it's your imagination space. Spirit speaks through imagination and play. And clairvoyance is just that. It's just being in that space and seeing images and information from spirit. So, and again, because it is completely neutral, you can go in there and observe whatever is happening outside of you without emotion. And that is power. That is power. The sixth is your inner sanctuary. Again, as I said, where you go to practice the presence of the God of your heart. So inspiration is caught, so to speak, in the sixth and shows up as imagination, creative ideas, words. Can be words, it can be, clairvoyance, yes, but also there's clairaudience where you hear, clairsentience, your intuition. I'm sorry, feeling, clear feeling. You can feel things in your body. And claircognizance, which is intuition. So, all of those things show up and you catch them. That's the only way I can say it, in your sixth, how they show up. And as you imagine, the idea gains momentum and starts to get fleshed out. So your intention gains momentum through your imagination and through the time you spend with it in your sixth chakra. The fifth or throat chakra is where you own it. That's where you own it, where you own the intention and where you own your divinity as a divine being in a physical body, your identity as a divine being in a physical body. It is the center from which you speak your truth that belongs to no other person on this earth but you. It's where you own who you are. So, where an intention is concerned, you see it in your imagination, but in talking about it, it gains more and more life, more and more momentum, and you get more and more excited about it. We manifest something at the point where we become it. So through imagination, through owning it with your voice, with your throat chakra, you are practicing it, becoming it. You have to be the thing that you want to intend. Or that you want to experience. You have to be it. And you are it in your divine consciousness, or you couldn't even want it. I mean, that's the whole point. Whatever you desire, that desire is given you by source, wanting to become more of itself through and as you. But anyway, before I get off on that tangent, one thing I want to say, when I say talking about it, really I mean talking about it to yourself. When you are nurturing an intention, I encourage you never to tell another soul about it. Never. Now, Sonia Choquette talked about believing eyes, meaning someone who could own that the same way you can, an intention. But really and truly, in my experience, they don't come up every day. They just it's hard to find someone that can really be that can really own your desire as much as you can for you, so to speak. Because we all come from a different place. We're all individual in a different part of our evolution. So my advice is to keep it sacred. You can talk to yourself about it all you want and thereby, grow it by doing that. But if you tell other people about it, you open yourself and the sacred thing that you're nurturing to their opinions, and they just can tromp all over it, Well, maybe you should do it this way, or maybe that way, or what do you want that for? Or, that's what happens because that's how human beings communicate, and have judgments about it. And that dilutes the energy. It may cause you to question your intention, or it may cause you to abandon it. So if you have something that's come to you, you really didn't make it up, I want to say, when you have an intention or a desire, you didn't make it up. It was given you by that which lives you, who wants to play in this world and enjoy. So keep it close, sacred, and nurture it with your love and your imagination. The fourth chakra is the heart chakra, the center of love for self and for others. It is also the center of passion, creativity, courage, and healing. This, in my experience, the heart is the center where the fire behind the intention is stoked by passion. Passion is the key ingredient. How can you bring anything into existence without passion? How can you? I mean, I don't think you can. And again, the way I'm describing these are my experience and my truth. So, but passion, it's like each chakra is adding more and more and more to the demonstration of your intention. So then it's manifested through the third, personal power, self-expression. It comes through you. Anything that you desire does not come to you. It comes through you, through your self-expression, but it's not human. It's the fruition of the divine inspiration that came to you. And again, in describing the chakra system, through your crown. In my experience, the third is associated most with doing, right? Personal power. Think about it. When I say that's your personal power, what is that? That's achieving, doing, you know, success in the material world, power. Not realizing that achieving and success is the doing of the infinite self. It all starts with a creative idea, and God is the only creator and enjoyer, and we are God's instruments through which God creates and enjoys. Alan Watts said, "The universe is a system that is aware of itself through us and our senses. No energy system is an energy system unless it lets go of itself. The universe, or the witness, capital W, does not see itself because it is seeing." Not like it's seeing that book over there. It is the act of seeing, of hearing, of speaking, the eye of the eye, the ear of the ear, the voice of the voice. That's what it is. And that was from an audio lesson called Thou Art That. But it is, the universe or the witness is that which lives us. We are unaware of it because, as Watts says, we don't notice anything for which we can't see a limit. That's brilliant. We don't notice anything for which we can't see a limit. So in other words, we have to see something that is outlined in space for us to be aware of it. So, and God, or the Tao, is everything. This is fascinating stuff to think about. I mean, it really, really is. So, back to my friend. When I heard the word permission as I was clearing her third chakra, it was very clear that there was far more to personal power than achieving and success in the material world. It is the center of self-expression, but self with a capital S, meaning the infinite self, the Lord of love and the Lord of light, not only expressed through our talents and abilities, but through our generosity, our love, our kindness, compassion, our creativity, you know, and our joy. Our joy. Shankara said that the Brahman, which is the Tao or God or the Father, is pure bliss, one without a second. And only through our constant connection to Brahman or the Father do we experience that bliss, because it's the only place that exists. But the more we connect, the more we feel it and experience it. So thinking about the third as the center of demonstration of the infinite self throws a whole new light on personal power. And the word permission was the invitation to see it that way. That way. Joel Goldsmith said that God is the only power. There cannot be an Almighty and other powers too, quote unquote, Joel. But God's power is not power over anything. In fact, he calls God's power non-power. It's not power over anything. It is life. It is omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and infinity. It is all that is. Again, to quote Watts, we don't notice anything for which we can't see a limit. We don't notice, we don't know, we take for granted what beats our hearts, inflates our lungs, grows our hair. All that is the air that we breathe, the ability to breathe, and the lungs through which we breathe. It is everything we never think about. My wonderful friend identified her value with her success in her career and did not include, pardon me, all that she is as a wife, a mother, and a friend. That word permission was just that, permission to see the bigger picture of all that she has to offer the world and own it. This was a huge deal, just a huge deal, not only for her, but it also gave me so much to think about and share with you. I mean, it's just, life is life, life is life. And what shows up for us in every moment is valuable. And I love that. The Tao is the present moment. It's never coming into or going out of being. It just is. And if we can be there, and, granted, when you've had a career or you've done something for a long time, it's like when you've been a parent and your kids go off to college and all of a sudden you find that it's just, you or you and your spouse. That's a new life. That's a new lifetime in your lifetime. It's uncharted waters. And so there are a lot of people that have a really tough time with that because, again, they feel they've lost their purpose. And I think that's what my friend was feeling too. That's why she's still kind of has one foot in, in her career, is because that gave her purpose. And I think when it's something that we do, that we earn a living by doing, we value that more than the other things that we do just as part of our life. I don't know. I can't say that that's a blanket statement. I can't say that's true for everyone, but I can say I know that, I know that in my life. So it's kind of like when you know what your purpose is, you know what you do that gives you a purpose, and all of a sudden that's gone. Your feet aren't on the ground anymore. And it really takes, I think, a lot of self-love and a lot of, pardon me, the desire to just start asking yourself questions. Why do I feel so uncomfortable? What is this? What is it? We only are going to find out when we go inside and ask questions, right? When we ask questions of ourselves, because nobody else is going to be able to tell us what it's about. I can give people information when I'm working with them and, what I see and what I understand, but still the real truth, the real, not the real truth, but the thing that's actually presenting itself as a block to self-value, self-love, permission to just be, permission to Have a day that there you have nothing on the calendar, no agenda. You're just having that day, moment by moment, as it shows up, being in it. I can promise you it won't be a day where you do nothing. I can promise you that. Because if you really do that, you know, this is the Joel Goldsmith prayer that I say every morning. This is your day, Father, the day that you've made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Reveal to me the work of the day, moment by moment. Show me the work of this day. Show me your decisions, not mine, but yours. And let your will alone be the motivating and activating principle in my life this day. And then, you know, you just kind of jump in. But for someone who is used to working and doing, that takes a little work. That takes a little work to not work. So if you find yourself there or have ever found yourself there, it's understandable. It's understandable. And anyway, that was a lot of information and a lot of stuff, and I hope you find that valuable. You've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that we relate to the world, because indeed we do create it. Our world is us pushed outward. All we ever see around us is us. Our beliefs, our perceptions, good, bad, or ugly. Anyway, please have a very, very blessed week and stay tuned for Katie Weaver. Bye, everyone.